The following message was given at Hume Lake, California, by Ray Schmaltz. The title of the message is Dead or Alive.
Do that. He had it all planned out. But I believe there are two reasons God created you and me. One reason is that He'd be glorified. Now, all that simply means, glorified, is that it's going to reflect who He is. You go out here at Hume Lake, and you know, you check out those mountains, and you check out that lake, and you look at the sky, and the trees, and everything, and you know there's a Creator, and you know that Creator is a Creator who loves us, a Creator who wants the best for us. You know, God could have made everything gray. Would have been a drag, wouldn't it? Have you ever thought why He gave you technicolor vision? You know, what a wild thing to do. That kind of tells you that God wants you to enjoy things. Some of the concepts we have of God is that He's trying to take fun out of our life. You ever ask yourselves the question, why God gave you taste buds? Huh? So you could taste. Wouldn't it be a drag if everything tastes like sauerkraut? Or spinach, you know? Well, see, just look at yourself sometime. And the way God created, and you can tell that God was in the business of creating you and I to enjoy things. And so God's creation is going to reflect who He is. Kind of like Kenny talked this morning about, you know, six reasons why he believes in God. Well, God as a creator is going to be glorified because His creation will reflect who He is. And so one reason God created us is it was going to bring glory to Him. Another reason that I believe God created you and I is so that we could have a love relationship with Him. He created you and I so that you and I could enjoy a relationship with Him. But what does there have to be for there to be love? I mean, genuine love. All right? You girls are going to start perking up here a little bit. You guys are starting to get in that ballpark of, you know, having little feelings toward girls. You know? Well, anyway, here you go, okay? Well, God created you to have love. But what has to be there for there to really be love is the ability to say no as well as yes. All right? If you can't say no, then it won't be love. Because you got to have the freedom to choose. I remember these little dolls when they first came out. Now they got, you know, dolls that grow hair, they wet their pants, they do all kinds of things, you know? But when they first came out, these little dolls, all they had on their back was a string with a little ring on it. And I remember this little girl, you know, she was just dying to get one of these little dolls on my block, you know, and she got one, and she comes running up to me, you know, and I, you know, okay, little doll, you know. And she comes out, she goes, look at my little doll, you know, I go, hey, cool, you know. And she puts her finger in this little doll, you know, this string, and she pulls this string out, and she lets go, and this doll went, I love you! And that little girl went bananas! She couldn't believe it. You know, it was the greatest thing in the world for her. She pulled that little string out and let go. I love you. You know, she loved it. But after a while, when that was the only thing that little doll could do, it didn't have any meaning. It just lost its meaning. What would it be like if you, walking down here on the earth, okay, just doing your thing. It's a cloudy day, kind of like it's starting to cloud up now. And while you're walking along, this big hand goes the clouds. Starts coming down to the earth, you know, and you're cruising along, and his hand comes up behind you, and you got this little ring in your back, and he grabs a hold of this ring, and he pulls that ring out and lets go, and you go, hey, God, I love you! And you went on, did your own thing. Now, how jazzed would God get? Huh? How excited would He get? He wouldn't at all. God had to give you the freedom, the will to be able to say no as well as yes for there to be love. Let me put it this way. This one will really hit it home, I think. Girls, on every campus, there's a handful of guys that everybody goes, ooh, right? You know, some of you girls are going, yeah. What would happen? One night you're at home, okay? One night you're at home, and the phone rings, and your mom or dad gets it. It's for you, you know, and you come walking up to the phone like you normally walk up the phone, and you go, hello? And all of a sudden, it's one of those guys. Takes you about 5 seconds, you know? And your old heart starts going, And you go, what's he calling me for? You know, you're going with all these thoughts in your mind, and he starts talking to you, you know, and you're just going, you know. He gets around to asking you out. But being a girl, and you got to be cool, don't you? Well, I don't know. Yeah. I better ask my, you know, and you come, yeah, they said it's okay, you know. And anyway, the night comes, you know, that day in school, from about noon on, you hadn't even heard a thing the teachers have been talking about. You're just visualizing this date you're going to be on that night, you know. And you get home, and it takes you about 3 hours, you know, and you've been ready for about 2.5 of those 3 hours. But, you know, you're really making sure everything's together. And he comes, you know, and knocks on the door, and your mom and dad lets him in. But you pretend like you're not ready, you know. Let him sit out there. Let him sweat it a while. And you come walking out, and I mean, you are looking good. Woo! You really got it together, okay? And he's looking good, all right? And you go out, and you have a super date. I mean, it's great. Woo! You know, just something else. You know? And he's gone different places where all your friends saw you. You know, and you're sitting there going, I hope they see me. You know, you're really loving this date, you know. And then he takes you home, you know, a little, and you go inside the house, and you just float to bed. You just float to bed, you know, and the next morning you get up. What's one of the first things you're going to do? Call one of your friends, aren't you? You know? And you're going to start telling them how super this date was. Did you see me? Did you, you know? And in the midst of this, what would happen? You ready for this? What would happen if one of your friends, you're talking to on the phone, says, oh, wow, it's neat, you know, I got something I need to tell you. And you go, what's that? You know, and you're thinking, oh, he likes me. You heard him. And it's just, I was talking to a couple of his buddies last night about your date with him and everything. And you know what they told me? You go, what? You go, they told me that they bet him $15 he wouldn't take you out. Bummer! Where is that guy? Let him have it. Yeah. Hey, you know why? It's because he didn't have a freedom of choice. He was forced to do it. See? All of a sudden, it loses all the meaning, doesn't it? And that's why God, when he created you and I, gave us the ability to say no as well as yes. All right? Because when you say yes to God, it pleases God. And it says that you want a relationship with him, and that's what he wants. He wants you to be able to choose, to have the freedom to say no as well as yes. But what do we do with it? Going back to Adam and Eve and the temptation, and we said to God, God, see you later, man. I'm going to do my own thing. And so God, because he gave us the freedom to do that, said, okay, but I'm going to continually tell you that I love you. I'm going to continually tell you that I care for you. I'm going to continually let you know that I know what's best for your life, but I'm not going to force it on you. Now we got to bring another person into this little story, don't we? His name's Satan. What do you guys know about Satan? Did you know that he was one of God's most beautiful creations? You know, we picture Satan as some guy in a little red suit, you know, got a tail hanging out his rear end, you know, and he's got a little horn on his head. And he's running around with a pitchfork and he's going, stab, stab, stab. That's not him. He was one of God's most beautiful creations. And why did he lose his relationship with God? It's because one day he got so caught up in himself, he wanted to be greater than God. And God said, that's an impossibility because you've rebelled against me. You haven't wanted to go along with my plan. You're out of my presence for eternity. But God gave him the right, the privilege to come here and find out where you and I are at. To find out who we want to follow. If we want to rebel and live for ourselves or live for God and his purpose for why he created us. So Satan fell because of pride, because of self-centeredness. What's the number one problem in our world? You look at it and it's what? I'm going to live for me, man. I'm going to get my way. I'm going to do my thing. And so you can see it all throughout the world that Satan, as the Bible says, is the controller of the world. 1 John says, we know that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so as you look around and you see hate, You see people stealing. You see people killing. You see people wanting to live for themselves and not care about other people. That's a characteristic or a show that Satan and what he's been doing has got them faked out to live the same way he wants to live against God. Now I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. You should be there already, but if you aren't, I want you to turn there. I want to read some verses to you that we're going to talk about tonight. It says this in verse 1 of chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Hey, I hope that God will be able to open your eyes to what these verses are really talking about. But He says something here. He begins, and He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who have already come to know Jesus Christ personally, and He's telling them something about their past life. And He says, you were dead, or under the curse of death. You used to be dead. And while you were dead, you know what characterized your life? He said, you used to follow the course of this world. And this world's course is underneath Satan, the prince of the power of the air. And he's the one who's manipulating things. And he's the one who's got the systems going. And he says, and while you were dead, you followed that course. In other words, you were following the lust of your flesh. In other words, you did what you wanted to do. The philosophy, do whatever you want to do if it feels good. You know, don't worry about anything else. There's no right, there's no wrong. Live for yourself. Follow what everybody else is doing. He says, and while you were doing that, you're among the sons of disobedience who follow the course of the world whom Satan's controlling. And then it goes on and it says, but God, rich in mercy, who loved us so much, brought us back to life when we were dead in Jesus Christ. Now I want to share some things with you out of these verses. It begins by saying, you were dead. What do you guys know about dead people? What? Tell me about it. What do you know? They smell. All right. What else? They're stiff. Yes. They're not living. Real good. Real good. They're cold. They don't say much, do they? No. Let me tell you about a story. Shh. Let me tell you about a story that happened to me. True story. Everything I'm going to share with you in this is right on the money. One night I was sitting with this guy in his apartment, okay? Just becoming friends, getting to know each other. And you know how you kind of wait for summer to get here, and you guys are now in the summer, and you're going, yay. And about a month into summer, someday you're going to be sitting there looking at one of your friends, and you're going to go, hey, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? You know, you do that little thing for a while because you run out of things to do. I was sitting there, and I go, hey, what do you want to do? He goes, I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? We beat that around a while, and he finally goes, hey, I know what we can do. And I go, what? He says, let's go down and take a tour where I work. Oh, yeah. Where you work? He goes, a mortuary. Yeah, sure. I always go down to mortuaries at midnight because that's what time it was. He goes, no, come on down. I like sure. Okay, let's go. Walk outside. It had just finished raining. And the wind is going, you know, kind of cold. We get in his car and we drive along and we come to this building, you know, where it's at. And he drives around to the back of the building. There's nothing back there. And he gets out of the car and I get out of the car and he unlocks the door and I let him go in first. As a gentleman, you know. And we walk inside and he takes me up to the chapel area. And he begins to explain all the things they do when there's a funeral. He says, if they believe this, we put these things up. And if they don't believe that, we take this down and we put this up. And if they don't believe anything, we take it all down. You know? It's kind of weird, the different things they do. And so we talked about that a while. And then he takes me to the casket room. And I remember walking in that room and you look around and hear all these coffins. You know, over here is the Cadillac coffin, you know, for the guy who had all the money. And over here is the Model T Ford casket for the guy who didn't have any money. And he tells me all about that. And then he goes downstairs, and I go right behind him, and he says, let's go to one of the showing rooms. Now, a showing room is where they'll let the family or relatives or close friends come before the day of the funeral so that there's not such a big shock. You know, and it's kind of a neat thing they do. And, of course, I let him go in first again, okay? And I walk in behind him, and there's nothing in there. Just a room, an empty room. And we go to the next one and the next one. Then finally, we're at the back. He goes, well, that's it. And I go, crummy, on the inside, you know. I know I'm weird, gang. You don't have, you know. But I really wanted to see someone. Because, see, you know, from my background in sports, I can't believe the human body and what an instrument it is. I played in a football game one time where I was just, you know, one of those games where you're really doing well and you're making all the tackles and you're just hitting everything that moves. You know, you don't care what it is, referees, goalposts. You don't care, man. Hit it, you know, get it, you know. And I hit this guy one time just really hard, and something weird happened. All of a sudden, I fell to the ground, and I couldn't move. The only thing I could move was my left arm. And you guys who have played football before, what's one of the things the coaches tells you before the season? If you're ever in the game, never call timeout. We got to save our timeout. Well, there I am, dumb guy, dying on the football field. I'm going, I can't call timeout. I can't call timeout. So with my left arm, I crawl off the field. You know, I get over the sideline and I fall over. Boom. You know, I just roll over. And the guys come running up. What's wrong? What's wrong? I go, I don't know, man. I can't move except my left arm. And the trainer starts working with me and everything. Four plays later, I'm back in the football game. What a dummy. I know I'm dumb, but I couldn't believe what the human body can take. So every time I get a chance to learn about it, I'd like to learn. So I kind of wanted to see someone, and this guy goes, well, that's it. And I go, crummy, you know. And then he goes, oh, I forgot one room. I go, what room's that? He goes, the preparation room. I go, hey, neat, I never saw a preparation room. And he goes, yeah, come on in. He opens the door and walks in, and there's a white sheet on a table, and there's something under it. And I'm not moving too quickly right about now. And he walks up, you know, he's done this 100 times, so he walks up to his hand, he goes, whoop, and there's this guy. Yeah? And I'm standing quite a bit of ways, and this guy starts telling me all the things they have to do to bury somebody in the state of California legally. He's telling me about this, and he's telling me about that, and he's illustrating and all kinds of stuff, you know. And I'm sitting there going, and then he starts telling me about the embalming fluid and what it does, you know. And so I'm going, wow, you know, and he explains this whole thing to me. And then to prove what it does, he says, touch him. Did you say touch him? He goes, yeah, touch him, you know. And I walked up and I went, ding! You know, like that. Hey, that guy was hard as a rock. I couldn't believe it. And then he threw the biggie on me. He says, pinch him. Have you ever heard about what those bodies do in mortuaries? So I walk up to this guy and I go, yeah! You know what that body did? Nothing. Didn't do a thing. I could have walked in there and went, you know, and he'd have done nothing. Now, here it comes. Are you ready for this? One of the main characteristics of a dead person is they cannot respond to anything. Heavy truth, isn't it, huh? Now, open your Bible up and go back to Ephesians. And you're going to go, you mean you went through all of that to tell me a dead person can't respond to any? Yes, I did. And you'll see why. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You were what? Dead in your trespasses and sins, and while you were dead, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. See, gang, everybody who comes into this world is born dead to God. Now, I'm not talking physically dead. I'm talking spiritually dead. that you and me, when we came into this world, were void of a spirit that was alive to God. So while we were dead spiritually, where were we alive? We're alive in our soul, what lets us know we're people, and we're alive physically. And so where we're alive is where we respond to. Now, if somebody's dead to God, but alive to the world, what are they going to do? They're going to become just like the world. You know why many of you in this room have inferiority complexes? You want to know why you don't like yourself? It's because you've been so alive to the world and not to God, you haven't heard what God has to say. You're hung up on what people are trying to tell you. And you're listening to people who are what? Dead to God, tell you how to live. How many of you have gone into a mortuary or been at a funeral and you walk up to the coffin and while you're passing by, you go, "Hey, tell me about life. Come on." And you're not saying much. What's the matter? You dead? You know? You'd never do that, would you? That'd be dumb. And they'd cart you off in a little white suit, you know? But guess what? We listen in this world to people who are dead to God try to tell us how to live. Let me give you an example. I had just become a Christian. I had a roommate. The guy was an All-American, all right? At San Diego State, he was a receiver. The guy was super. He was one of those guys that was the handful of guys the girls wish they could go out with. In fact, this guy, I don't think I ever saw him do any homework. He had about five girls typing his papers for him, reading his books, doing everything for him, you know? He had it made, you know? He was just sitting around enjoying school and playing ball. That's all he was doing. Went away to some professional football. One night we're sitting in the room, and he had seen me when I became a Christian and change. He saw me change right in front of his eyes. And one night I'm sitting there and he goes, "Hey, Schmatz, you want to know why I don't want to be a Christian?" I go, "Whoa, why? Tell me." He goes, "Because Christians can't have any fun, man. They're trapped." I went, "Trapped? What do you mean?" He goes, "Because you can't do what you want to do. I want to be free. I want to do anything I want to do. And you're trapped and you can't. And I'm free and I want to stay free." And I go, "What do you mean you're free?" He goes, "Look, I can go out right now and if I can find a girl who wants to have sex and go to bed, I can do it. You can't do it. You're a Christian. And if I want to go out and get stoned, I can go out and do it, man. You can't do it. You're a Christian." And he named off a whole bunch of things that he could do that I couldn't do because he was free and I was trapped. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not trapped, man. You're trapped. What do you mean? I said, the reason I'm not trapped and you are is because you've got to do those things or you won't fit in. I said, try this. Try going 1 month without doing all those things everybody else is doing and see where you fit in. And then you tell me how free you are. Let's really get down to the nitty-gritty. I'm free, you're trapped. You got to do the things you're doing or no one's going to accept you. And the reason you do most of the things you're doing is because that's what everybody says you ought to be doing so you'll fit in. I said, just try going 1 month without doing them and see how many friends you really have. I said, I'm free. You know why I'm free? I can go do that. If I wanted to and found a girl who wanted to have sex and go to bed, I can go do it right now. I'm not kept from doing it. Who's going to stop me? If I want to go out and get stoned right now, who's going to stop me? Nobody. But you can't come to God. You have no freedom to become the person God created you to be. You're trapped. You've got to be what people want you to be. You've got to follow the course of this world, which is in control of Satan, because you're dead to God. Hey, what am I trying to say tonight? I'm trying to speak to the Christians, and I'm trying to speak to those of you here who don't know Jesus. Hey, gang, the greatest thing that ever happened to you, if you know Jesus Christ, was coming to know Jesus. And instead of being dead, you're now alive. And you now have the potential to become that person God created you to be. If you're here and you're not a Christian, guess what? You're dead. Now you sit there and go, what do you mean dead? Because, you know, when you try to talk to people about the things that God says, they're spiritual things. And you people out there who just aren't alive to God yet are probably sitting there struggling to even hang in. An evidence of being dead is while you're sitting there, your mind's roaming around 1,000 different places, and you can't hone in on what God's Word is because it's spiritual. You can't respond to really what God wants to say to you. And so you're sitting there thinking about, oh, I hope this gets over really quick, so I hit the snack bar and start talking to that girl I started hustling last night, you know, and, you know, play a little touchy hand, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, throw the moves on her, hey, you know. Well, that's the evidence of a person who can't hang in a live relationship with God. And so, you know, I don't blame you for sitting there and kind of going, wow, this is kind of, you know, going right over my head. Well, trying to talk to people who aren't alive yet, that'll be a difficulty. But you might hear the message that you can come alive to Jesus Christ. And that's what life's all about. Because, gang, if you never come alive to Jesus Christ, if you never come to know God personally, then all you'll ever become is a puppet. Because you'll never be able to come who you were created to be. You'll only become what people want you to be. And I can talk to you Christians here too about this, can't I? We said a little bit last night when I shared how I had struggled in the area of being afraid of people. See, you have the potential when you come to know Jesus Christ to be controlled and empowered by God's Spirit. So you'll become that person God wants you to be. But if you continually measure your life and look at your life through the world's eyes, you'll be kept back from the freedom that God can give you to be who He created you to be. To God. That's super, gang. Don't ever get faked out by thinking that's not the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. Because it is. When you came alive to Jesus Christ. That's what this whole week's all about. Allowing some of you to be here so you can come alive for the first time to Jesus. And the rest of you who know Jesus already to increase that life in Christ. So when you go back home, God's got more of your life. And you've given more of it to Jesus Christ. That's what this week's all about. That's why we have the meetings. It's to simply challenge your brain a little bit and get you to think and talk to the Lord. That's what I wanted to share with you tonight. That if you don't know Jesus, you're dead. If you do know Jesus, you've come alive. But that's not a guarantee that you're going to be free. You've got to live for Jesus to experience all that God has for you. Let's pray. Father, just come to You right now. And God, it's exciting that we know You and we're alive. That we're not like dead people, people who can't respond. We can respond to You, but we're still alive to the world and it trying to get our attention. And so, Lord, while we're here this week, we pray that You would cause our attention to shift to You and the new life we have in Jesus Christ. Use us, God, in one another's life. And we just thank You for what You're going to do. And I pray for the people here who don't know You yet, Father. I know some people have already come to know You since they came here this week. Even today, some people have come alive to Jesus Christ. And we praise You for that, Father. And we just ask that the rest of this week and even tonight, we might experience that new life. The reality that You're alive and You're empowering and You've got our life in such a way that we hear what You have to say and we're free, free indeed. To be what You created us to be. And we just ask that to take place in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
While listening to this tape, perhaps God's Spirit has been talking to your heart. If you felt the need to draw closer to your Creator, why not start today? God has provided a way for man to enter into relationship with Him forever through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the children of God. You too can receive Him right now by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and asking Him to come into your life and to be Lord and Savior of your life. Now, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you can do so through a simple little prayer. Just open up your heart and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit to You that I am a sinner. I believe that You died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Please come into my heart and into my life. Please make my life acceptable unto You. And thank You, Lord, for Your gift of eternal life. And I receive You this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, you are a new person. All your past sins and faults have been forgiven by God, and in His eyes you are a brand new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, as a newborn spiritual infant, you should seek the sincere milk of God's Word so that you may grow by it. So read your Bible and pray to the Lord often and seek out other Christians and enter into fellowship with them. We'd love to hear of your decision for Christ. And we'd love to give you a free study of the book of John on cassette by Pastor Chuck Smith. If Jesus never turned a spiritual or hungry or thirsty soul away, but filled everyone who asked. So we'd like to do the same for you in His name. So please write to us at the address on this tape and tell us of your needs and what the Lord has done for you today. May the Lord bless you now and keep you in everything you do and everything you say. And welcome to the family.